1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Stand for the reading of the Word of God. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which was in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to preach this morning for a few minutes with the help of the Lord on spontaneous worship. And we see that in verse 17 of my text. Paul broke out in praise, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. We live in a time of crisis in worship. And one reason that we live in a time of crisis in worship is because God is little known in our generation. Many people know about God, but they don't really know God. And there's a vast difference between knowing about God and knowing God for yourself. And we have quite a crisis in many churches across the country. You can see the crisis on their boards as you drive down the road. And they'll say, at a certain time, we'll be having contemporary worship. At a certain time, we'll be having traditional worship. Which means that there are people in that church who go to one worship service and people who go to another worship service. And usually the division is between the young and the old. And so you have a worship service for the young people that features rock and roll music and contemporary music. And then you have a worship service for the older people who enjoy the traditional hymns of the church. So the worship, there's a division of generations occurring all across this country in the worship of God. And worship has turned into an expression of my taste instead of an offering unto God. And you know, the question that we all must face and ask ourselves as we go on in this changing time, are there some things that cannot be sanctified unto God? Are there some things that do not fit in the house of God? Amen. Are there some things that cannot be used in the worship of the true and living God? You know, God has a pattern. Throughout His Word, there was an established pattern of worship that God was very jealous about, so that He said concerning the Ark of the Covenant, that Ark is to be carried on the shoulders of the priest. When they decided they'd carry that ark on a cart, yes, God sent judgment on a man who dared to touch that ark when it was shaken on that cart. He died under the judgment of God. And there are other instances in the Bible where God demonstrated His jealousy over proper worship, when the sons of Aaron offered strange fire before God in the tabernacle, God slew them and commanded Aaron not to mourn over his sons who had dared to pollute the worship of God. Are there some things that do not belong in the worship of God? Are there some things that cannot be sanctified to the worship of God? There was a king in Israel by the name of Judah, by the name of Ahaz, and he went into Syria and he saw an altar in a heathen temple. And he sent back directions to Jerusalem for an altar to be made like that one in that heathen temple and to be used in the temple to worship God. It angered God that he took something from this heathen idolatrous temple and used it as a pattern to be used in the worship of God. Indeed, there are some things that cannot be sanctified unto God. There are some things that cannot be used in the worship of God. And we've got to understand what those things are. And I'm telling you that the world has a lot of things, and every generation brings with it its own taste and its own culture. And we've got, as the people of God, we've got to understand what things are proper to be used in the worship of God and what things are not proper to be used in the worship of God. Do these things honor God? Do they exalt the Lord? Do they bring our hearts and minds into the presence of God? Or are they merely physical, emotional sensations that have nothing to do with God? And you know, many people are trying to use the music of the world, rap music and hip-hop music and rock and roll music, and just adding the words Jesus to it a little bit and using it in the house of God. But I'm telling you, there are some things that cannot be sanctified unto God, and they don't belong to the house of God. We're in a crisis of worship. We're in a crisis of worship because of defiled hearts, because the Lord demands that we come into His presence with clean hands and a pure heart. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy mountain? That's the place of worship. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who has been exercising righteousness with his hands, whose heart has been cleansed by the Lord, that is the person who is qualified to offer worship unto God. And so the crisis of worship is that we approach Him with defiled hearts. Brother, there's no way to worship God out of a heart that we have used in covetous and idolatrous practices. And God says we must come to Him with clean hands and a pure heart. The crisis of worship is not only because of defiled hearts, but it's because of empty hearts. Sister Gail Myers stood on the steps of the largest Catholic temple in Mexico City and saw the multitudes of Mexicans marching to that temple, chickens in their hands, things to offer unto God, sacrifices to offer unto God. And God spoke to her heart while she stood there and watched those masses come by. God spoke a message to her heart and said, "Full hands and empty hearts." And my brother, that's the story of many in America as well as in Mexico, that we have full hands and empty hearts, and we cannot worship God when our hearts are empty. We have no love and affection for God. Worship is based upon a love and affection for God. We adore Him. We worship Him. Worship must come out of a heart that's full of love for God. We cannot worship God when our hearts are empty. The crisis of worship is because of defiled hearts and empty hearts and divided hearts. Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon being wealth and possessions, things that money can buy. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so divided hearts cannot worship God. Our hearts must be undivided. God must have priority in our life. He must have first place in our life. In order for us to really worship God in spirit and in truth, God must have priority in our life. The amazing thing is that people go to houses of worship all across this country. They go there with defiled hearts. They go there with empty hearts. They go there with divided hearts and leave like they came and say that they have worshiped God and go through some form and some ritual in some house of worship somewhere, but leave like they came. It is a worship of Cain. It's the worship of Baal. It's the worship of Balaam. They're following in the practices of those who in the Old Testament worshiped God in such a way that God rejected their worship. But God wants us to worship Him out of a heart that is full of love for Him. God wants us to worship Him out of a pure heart. God wants us to worship Him out of an undivided heart. You know, the reason we are here this morning, the reason we assemble on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night is so that we join our hearts together with others to truly worship God in spirit and in truth. God has designed to meet with us when we assemble together in His name. He promised to meet with us when we assemble together in His name. He said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, I will be there in the midst. And I want to tell you this morning, brother and sister, what God is after is your heart, your whole heart, your undivided heart. God wants your heart. You cannot worship God until God gets your heart. You see, there's a basis for worship. And that basis is this. There must be a transformation. And the Bible tells us in my text, when Paul broke out in worship for God, he was thinking about what God did in him. He thought about where he came from. He told about how that he was a persecutor of the church. He told about how he injured the people of God. He told about how God saved him and transformed him and called him into the ministry and made him a preacher of the gospel that he once sought to destroy. And Paul, in meditating on what God had done in him, broke out into praise unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Unto Him be honor and glory forever and ever. When you have in your consciousness a knowledge of what you once were compared to what you are now by the grace of God, that becomes the basis for worship. When you've had a transforming experience by the power of God, you know where you were, you know what God did for you, that becomes the basis for our worship unto God. Brother, I know where He brought me from. I remember what I was before He found me. I remember how He picked me up by His great and mighty hand. How He washed me and cleansed me and transformed me and made me into a different person. And that becomes the basis for our worship. If that transformation has never taken place, there is no basis for worship until you can remember what you were and what God made out of your life. Not only did he worship God for what God did in him, he was worshiping God for what God did for him. He said in my scripture text this morning, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Here is what God did for me. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Paul was a man awed by that. That he who was in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, and he humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. And Paul never got over what God did for him in Jesus Christ. When we contemplate what God has done for us, when we contemplate what it cost heaven to save us, when we understand the great reproach and suffering and rejection that Jesus went through as the Son of God. He was not a mere man. He was not suffering just merely as a man. He was suffering as the Son of God. Deity dying for humanity. You hear me? I said deity dying for humanity. The Son of God giving His life for us upon the cross of Calvary. When I contemplate what it cost heaven to save my soul, how can I not worship God when I realize what God has done for me? Paul was worshiping God because of what God had done in him. And he was worshiping God for what God had done for him. Hallelujah. And Paul went on to say in this passage of Scripture, in his expression of worship, he was worshiping God because of what God had revealed to him. You see, you can only worship God if God's been revealed in your heart. Unless you know who He is, you never worship Him until you know who He is. And he was worshiping God because of what God had revealed unto him. You remember Christ revealed Himself to Paul on the Damascus Road. And there he saw Him above the brightness of the noonday sun. He was smitten with blindness for 3 days. But he said, God sent me into Arabia. And there in Arabia, God not only revealed Himself to Paul, but He revealed Christ in Paul. And so in that period of time that he was alone in the desert with God, God was revealing Christ in him. And this man who was intimately acquainted with Christ, who said himself in writing to the Philippians, I believe it was, he said, I've counted the world just dung that I might gain the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He knew him. And in knowing him, he could not help but worship him. When you know him, when you understand he's eternal, the invisible, the immortal, the only wise God, when you have a knowledge of God in your soul, you can't help but worship God when he's been revealed to your heart. Most people are so amazed at their own greatness. They have no eye for the greatness of God. But brother, when we realize how little we are and insignificant we are and what God is and what He's done for us, and it makes us worship God when there's a revelation of God in our soul. You know, that's the reason that the Bible tells us that we're to grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When Jesus found us out there in the world, we were not true worshipers. That's the reason He looked for us. Because God is searching for people. He's looking for people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And you did not worship God in spirit and in truth until He found you. Until He saved you. Oh, you are a worshiper. Everybody's a worshiper. But not everybody's a true worshiper of God in spirit and in truth. And you were not a true worshiper of God. And I don't care how much you went to church. I don't care how much you raised your hands. How much you shouted and danced. And I'm telling you, they're shouting and dancing all across this country. The Pentecostal church just down below us has got a dance team on their way to Oklahoma to the headquarters to compete in the dancing regimen at headquarters. And they're dancing all across this country. And they had a picture of them in the paper in their blue jeans, dancing unto the Lord, poured in their blue jeans, dancing unto the Lord. All of this stuff going on all across this country. I'm telling you, brother, you can dance all you want to. But until you have an experience with God, until God finds you in your lost condition, until there's a transformation made in your heart, you may be a worshiper, but you're not a true worshiper until God gets a hold of you and reveals Himself to your heart. God wants to make us true worshipers of God. Oh, yes. God is interested in making you a true worshiper, revealing Himself to your heart. Listen, not only does He make you a true worshiper when He saves you, but He says to us, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Is that what He said? Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know why? Because as you grow in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, guess what happens to you? You become a better worshiper of God. And so every one of us that's growing in the Lord, our worship is also improving. You hear me? I said every one of us that's growing in the Lord, every one of us that's growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're becoming better worshipers of God, because worship is based on the fact of the revelation of God in our soul. As we study the Word and as the Spirit of God speaks to our heart, we become more intimately acquainted with God, and we become acquainted with His characteristics and His traits and His faithfulness, His love, His compassion, His holiness. We become acquainted with all these characteristics of God. Our heart becomes awed by Him more and more. Listen, my brother, as a church, as a people of God, growing in the knowledge of God, it should manifest itself in our life that we are worshipers of God. More and more, we worship Him because in our hearts, we're growing more, better acquainted with Him. The revelation of God is increasing in our soul. And that is the basis for our worship. Hallelujah. Well, look at what Paul did in worship. See the contents of his worship. Unto Him that, he said, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You see the content of his worship? It was a giving to God. Giving to God honor and glory. This is the content of true worship. Is giving to God honor and glory. Listen, you know, oftentimes our purpose for going to church, and I heard this all the time as I was growing up, half for all of my life, I reckon. Heard people say, well, I came to church to get a blessing. Wrong purpose. Wrong purpose. Worship is not getting. Worship is giving. We come to give glory and honor unto God. The reason that people leave like they came is because they came to get instead of to give. And this is what worship is all about. It is a giving. We come to give unto God the glory that's due to His name. We come to honor Him. We come to exalt Him. We come to praise Him. We come to exalt Him. That is what worship is, brother. And the way that we receive what we need is we give Him what He deserves. That's what real worship is. So He said we give God glory and honor. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I know y'all don't look very excited about this, and I'm not doing a very good job with it, but I wish I could help you to see how wonderful Jesus is. I wish I could help you to see how glorious Jesus is. I wish I could help you to see how much He deserves your honor and your praise and your glory. I wish I could help you to see how important worship is, brother. Oh yeah, there's many people that's worshiping in the wrong way, but we must worship God in spirit and in truth, the Bible says. Oh, yeah, He deserves it.
Yes, He does.
He deserves it.
Yes, He does.
Hallelujah. Paul said this is the content of my worship, giving God glory and honor. Not only was he giving God glory and honor, he made a commitment to God. Glory and honor forever and ever. Hey. Are y'all hearing me now? This is the kind of worship that Paul gave to God. He said, I'm giving Him honor and glory. And I'm giving Him honor and glory forever and ever. Now hear me, saints of God. Hear me this morning. Hallelujah. This is true worship. True worship is not based on the circumstances of my life. I don't just give glory and honor to God when things are going good in my life. Paul said, I'm going to give glory and honor to Him forever and ever. From this point on to the end of my life, I'm going to give glory and honor to God. And when life on earth ends and I wake up in glory, I'm going to give glory and honor to Him while the eternal ages roll on. Paul was saying to us, my giving to God glory and honor is not dependent upon the circumstances of my life. So while he's beaten with his back blistered and bleeding in the prison, he can still worship God and give glory and honor to God because his worship is not based on the circumstances of his life. I'm going to give glory and honor to Him forever and ever, he says. So when I'm on the mountaintop, I'm going to give glory and honor to God. When I'm in the valley, I'm going to give glory and honor to God. I'm going to are going my way. I'm going to sing when things are going against me. I'm going to give God the glory whenever I'm on top of the world. And I'm going to give God the glory whenever the world's on top of me. Because it doesn't matter about the circumstances of my life. He deserves glory and honor when things are going good. And He deserves glory and honor when things are going bad in my life. Don't ever make your worship contingent on the circumstances of your life. I know every one of us came here this morning with problems, troubles. Every one of us did. Some of us maybe more troubles and more problems than others. But we don't make our worship contingent on trouble-free life. You won't
have a worship.
That's right.
I said you won't have a worship.
That's right.
There will never be a time that you'll give
glory and honor to God if you make worship contingent on being trouble-free.
Right.
You'll never worship God. Mm-hmm. No, sir. So Paul said, I'm going to worship God when I'm healthy. I'm going to worship God when my health is gone. I'm going to worship God when I've got money in my pocket. I'm going to worship God when I don't have any money to my name. I'm going to worship God when I've got plenty of friends. I'm going to worship God when my friends are gone. I'm going to worship God, whatever the circumstances in life is. I'm going to give God glory and honor. I'm going to worship God when I'm on the mountaintop and I'm a shouting the high praises. I'm going to worship God when I'm down in the valley weeping. I'm going to worship God and give God glory and honor because He's still good and He's still holy and He's still compassionate and He's still merciful and He's still my Savior no matter what's going on in my life. He's still faithful. He's still holy. He's still high. He still deserves our worship regardless of the circumstances of our life. Hallelujah. Do you know Him? Sister Judy, come to the piano. Do you know Him? Do you love Him? Do you worship God? Our worship on Sundays is conditioned upon our worship Monday,
yes.
Tuesday,
yes.
Wednesday. And if I have been worshiping God all week long out of a pure heart, devoted and dedicated to Him, regardless of the circumstances of my life, I've been worshiping God. It ain't hard to come to the house of God on Sunday morning and say glory to that wonderful name and sing our songs unto Him. Ha! Not just singing to make melody, but singing unto Him to give glory, honor to our Lord and Savior. Are we true worshipers of God this morning? How much does He mean to us? Have we come with defiled hearts, divided hearts, empty hearts? We can't worship God with defiled hearts, divided hearts, and empty hearts. But we can worship God when we can point to a transforming experience where God brought us out of darkness into light.
Yes.
Where God gave us life for death. Where God transformed our life. We can worship God when we contemplate what He did for us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we can worship God when there's a revelation of God in our heart. We know Him. We know who He is. We know what kind of God He is. We know how He's treated us. How patient and kind, how loving He's been to us. And we can worship Him when we know Him. I want us to stand together this morning. If you're not a true worshiper, I want you to understand that God wants to make out of you more than anything else, more than anything else, God wants to make out of you a true worshiper of God. your children. Is there one in this congregation? You don't know him. You can't worship him. There's nothing inside reaching for him. Nothing in your heart that responds to him. Your heart is empty. You don't know him. Would you like to come and get acquainted with him this morning? Come to know Jesus. Love of God shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. While we wait just a moment. This morning, that there's nothing more important than knowing you, worshiping you, being a true worshiper of God. Lord, we have come to this place this morning to give unto you glory and honor. I praise you because what you have done in us. Thank you for the transforming power of the work of Christ. Thank you for what you did for us. In the sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross, I thank you for revealing to our heart who Jesus is. Oh God, I want to worship you better. I pray that you'd help me to be a better worshiper of God. Oh Lord, help me not to let anything hinder me in time, and I know nothing will hinder me in eternity from giving God glory and honor. I pray that you'd enable us as the people of God to grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Enlarge our understanding of God. Clear our vision of His greatness. Give us a clear vision of His greatness, of His glory. God, may we stand in awe of you, reverencing your holy name. I pray that you would bless this congregation and this church. Help us, oh God, that when others come into our midst, they would sense the presence of God. They would see the worship of your people. They would understand that these people love God. They'd be convicted by the worship of the saints of God. Oh, Jesus, I pray by your Spirit, make yourself very real to us. We'd be overcome by your greatness and glory to give worship, spontaneous worship unto the Lord our God. Thy will be accomplished in every heart. Those that do not know you, Lord, help them this day to come to know Jesus. We'll give you the praise, the honor, the glory. We'll ask it in Jesus' lovely name. For his sake. Amen.